103.2 Dublin City FM. Friday, 3 p.m. Gardeners all over the world listening to The Sod Show with Peter Donegan.
Ooh, 103.2 Dublin City FM. It is The Sod Show with Brian Green and Peter Donegan. More from Peter in a moment. Coming up on today's programme, we have Cormac from the Bodega in Waterford, also got the Burza restaurant, which is quite an exciting piece of restauranting, because he has this pizza that's a hybrid with a burger. If you haven't tried it, you just got to. It's absolutely amazing. Coming up also on the programme today, we have a interview with the one, the only, we wanted to get him on this show for about 5 years, Mick Kelly from Grow It Yourself International. We finally have done it. That's coming up on the show. But first, I must tell you how to get in touch. And we are on Twitter at Sod Show. And you can get us during the week on the emails. And that's info@sodshow.com. I need to tell you about the back catalogue of 5 years of shows, which are hosted on audioboom.com. And you can get them via our website, sodshow.com. And shows like, did you hear last week's show? You see, if you missed it on the radio, you can go back online and get it on demand. We were speaking with Marion Keogh and Esther Gerard, and they are from Bloom Fringe. Check that one out. It's the last one up on the website. Over the last 4 weeks, we've been talking with the RHS. Do you remember the show we did with the deputy show manager of RHS Tatton, with Isabel Coulter? No? Maybe you'd like to go back and listen to Dave Green, show manager of RHS Hampton Court Palace Flower Show. That's a mouthful. Dave's show is there on sodshow.com. We were talking with Tom Hartfleet, manager of the Chelsea Flower Show. And we were also talking with the wonderful Anne-Marie Powell, RHS Chelsea Flower Show 2016. And there's just loads of them. Like, if I sat here for 10, 20 minutes, I wouldn't get through 25 of the last shows that we did. And I'm not here to do that, because we have a brand new show for you this week. So without further ado, let's get outdoors. And first of all, we're going to put the microphones on Mick Kelly from Grow It Yourself International.
Another Friday afternoon. It is Sod Show time indeed. On this special Friday, very special Friday, we are in the company of one of the greats. He giggles beside me. I'm not bigging him up too much. Maybe I am. I don't know. Michael, Mick, do I call you Michael or Mick?
Mick is good, Peter, yeah.
Mick Kelly of GIY fame, I suppose. How are you?
I'm very good. I'm absolutely great. The sun is shining and lots of people milling around, so we're happy.
We've done Growfest. I was given one of the blue t-shirts. We've met most of the team at this stage of the game.
What did you make of it?
Growfest, to be honest with you, I have to say I was more than pleasantly surprised. I think I spoke to Trevor Sargent, who I would know from doing talks at Sonarta. And I said to Trevor, it was like the Glastonbury for Grow It Yourselfers. Yeah. And that's probably the easiest way to describe it, where you've got this lovely eclectic mix of everybody who's from, you know, cows up one end and sheep and all of those things that are going on. But it also allows in, I guess, the guys who are into making their own from pallets and living in apartments, and also the people who would like to maybe grow a little bit like Dermot Carey and buy a book, and also that meet and greet thing where you just come down and say hello. So yeah, a beautiful mix of loveliness is the easiest way to describe it. A proud day for you.
Yeah, it really is. Like, this is our seventh one of these gigs, and it's we try and change things around every year, and this year we're kind of right in the middle of the city, which is normally we do it in the Theatre Royal, which is a very different kind of hushed vibe in a theatre space kind of thing, and this is totally different to that. Like, it's pure mayhem around today, but it's brilliant. And as you say, like, it's always that sort of eclectic mix of, we always try and make it you know, a bit of a mix of the philosophical and the food issues and the political side of food, and then the very practical stuff, like, so the how to grow, the likes of Susan Turner and Joy Larkham and Jim Cronin, these kind of wonderful growers, mixed in with all the the, you know, the great food politics people like Joanna Blydman and stuff. So you get that really kind of a heady mix, I think. And that's always what's interested me when kind of putting these gigs together every year. And it kind of works. And I think the biggest challenge we have, to be honest, like, is the speakers. They all give their time free of charge. Like, they all come over to Waterford from, you know, from Ireland, the UK and beyond. And they all want to come back every year because it's such a fantastic, they have such a fantastic weekend, which is brilliant. But it also means we've got that challenge of, you know, how do you sort of freshen it up every year? So we've that mix of kind of old friends coming back and lots of new people in this year as well.
For those who aren't aware, GIY, when it first started, I guess, was Grow It Yourself. Then it became kind of Grow It Yourself Ireland, GIY Ireland. And it seems to have become GIY International.
Yeah.
Before we kind of get into that, this may be the bit that you would have done a lot of in the early days of press before you became world famous, or at least Ireland, I'm joking. More famous than me, Mick, is the easiest way to say it. But for those who aren't aware, what is the story? Who was, let's say, Mick Kelly 15 years ago? Yeah. Were you a shit gardener, or are you going to tell me that you used to grow feng shui herbal tea underneath your bed?
No,
which makes you one step again better than me.
Well, I wasn't even a shit gardener because I wasn't a gardener at all. I was a IT nerd working in a computer company selling computers to people that didn't need them, and absolutely hated my job, and that's what I was doing 15 years ago, and living in Gorey in County Wexford, doing like a 4-hour commute to Dunleary to an office job, living in a town that I had no connection with, and just like came to a kind of an early midlife crisis, I suppose, where I just said, like, is this for us? Like, are we going to spend the rest of our lives doing this, or are we going to go after our passion and go do something different? And we decided to do that. We moved back down to Waterford, which is my parents are both from here originally, and decided to move here in search of the good life, and started growing my own food. The only growing I'd done up to that point was bonsai trees in an apartment in Pottery Road in Dunleary, Crofton Road in Dunleary, and killed about 5 bonsai trees. Like, they were about 1,000 years old between the 5 of them, and like, I used to just kill everything. So and started growing my own food as a sort of a part of it. I had this sort of epiphany moment with a bulb of garlic in a supermarket, which they always slag me, all the lads in GIY, about telling this story over and over again. I'm like a one-trick pony with my Chinese garlic story, but I'm going to tell it again. You don't mind, do you?
Not at all. Tell me.
So, like, just about to buy some garlic, and saw on the back of the label it said it was from China, product of China. Or I think it might have even said farm fresh from China, which is like
product of China. I can verify. Yes.
Yeah. So we were. I was just like blown away by the fact that it was something, you know, this so small, so cheap, like for sale for whatever 30, 40 cent, and shipped halfway across the world or all the way around the world, and for sale in the supermarket in Waterford for 30, 40 cent, just really captured my imagination, and I just felt, look, something mad about this. So I decided to try and grow my own garlic, and I was, you know, read a bit about it, stuck a couple of cloves in the ground, and, you know, as you know, it germinates and came up, put up a shoot or a stem about maybe 2 foot high. And because I knew nothing about growing at the time, I was waiting for the bulb of garlic to form on top of the stem, you know, and I was thinking it'd be maybe, you know, flapping in the wind, and I wasn't quite sure how the whole thing worked. But eventually, anyway, after a very long, you know, 6 months, I guess, it it keeled over the way garlic does when it's ready to be eaten, and I just thought it was dead. So I went to throw it on the compost heap and underneath the ground. Like, in my mind, looking back at it now, there were these like the size of oranges under the ground. They probably weren't that big, but I was just smitten by the whole idea that I could produce food. I've written about it as being like that moment in that movie, you know, the Tom Hanks movie Castaway.
Yeah, yeah.
And he gets the fire going, eventually he starts running around bare chested, like beating his head, saying, I created food, like that was what well I was said. Like with me, yeah. So I just couldn't believe that I could produce this amazing food that looked better than anything I'd ever seen in the supermarket in my own garden with my own hands, and just got bitten by the bug from there.
Mick Kelly from GIY, and we'll be back with him a little bit later in the programme, but next we're going to stay in Waterford. There's a wonderful restaurant called The Bodega. It's also a music venue from time to time, and they've branched out and they've got the burza part of it now, and I mentioned at the top of the show, a hybrid of a burger and a pizza is the burza. You've got to check this out. Go along, and if there isn't a big queue, or even if there is, join it and get into the restaurant and try this food, because it is absolutely wonderful. Peter caught up with Cormac from The Bodega in Waterford. Have a listen.
Cormac, for those who have never been to Bodega before, whereabouts are you located exactly?
Our address is 54 John Street. We're right in the heart of Waterford City, just down from the Apple Market.
So we know the Tower Hotel. Are you near enough to there?
Yeah, roughly about a 5 minutes walk. You just come out of Tower Hotel doors and turn left and travel up about 500 yards and turn right, and it's 5 minutes walk.
Are you long in the restaurant trade? Was it always your business? Did you start off as a commis chef? Did you have the dirty jobs? Did you have to wash the dishes and do all of that?
We're in Bodega now about 14, 15 years. Yes, before I opened the restaurant, to be honest, I was in and out of the trade. When I was in college, I did work in hotels, in the kitchens, washing pots and everything, and I wasn't confident, to be honest, with you, front of house, so you just work your way up, whatever, to be honest. You have to do everything when you're in the trade.
And to now, 14, 15 years under your own name, you're as long as I am in business. There have been tough years, lean years, mean years, and better years. How are you faring now?
To be honest, now we're doing very, very well. To be honest, we opened in 2001 when there was still a bit of a boom going on in Ireland, and we had a few years to work through all our make all our mistakes and have all our problems and lose a lot of money. But because there was good times back in Ireland back then. It was we were fine. Then we went what was the recession, obviously, in Ireland. Everyone knew it was coming, to be honest, so we just tailored our menus and just wanted to give customers value for money. You come in and you can have three courses with us for €20, or you come in and you can spend €28 on one course. Just have menus that are available all week, that people, that the bread and butter for restaurants is during the week. Like if you can be ticking over during the week, like a lot of customers like to just come in have a fish pie or have a burger or something small, but it just allowed them to get out, meet their friends and have a social without breaking the bank. You have to have the other menu as well, the special menu, like, you know, that's a treat, and you want to be a bit more extravagant. And that kind of formula served us very well, to be honest.
We ended up talking to you, and this is the roundabout way of getting to it, but we ended up talking to you because Karen from GIY put us in touch with you. That's Grow It Yourself. So that's the easiest question back into that is, how and why did Karen send us to you, apart from the fact that your food is excellent?
Yeah, there's a long story. Well, when we started first, really...
Give us the long story.
When we started first, really, just realising how the food industry was going and what people wanted, it was back in, I think, 2007 or 8. There was a Terra Madre food festival in Waterford City, and that really opened up our eyes to what we could be doing or what we should be doing. Believe it or not, back in 2007 and 8, there was no listings of any suppliers or producers on menus in Ireland, to be honest. It just wasn't done. It was with the Terra Madre Festival. I went to a few different events and speaks, and the people giving lectures were just saying very simple things. Why not tell people where your stuff is coming from? And it was very simple. It was they were dead right. Like it's great for everybody. Like everybody benefits with the name on the menu. Like the restaurants benefit because the customers see it, whatever, and they say, "Wow, that's great. That's I know that farmer, or I know that producer," and the producer himself benefits. And having everything local, like it's the flavors are better, whatever. That was the Terra Madre Festival, and then Waterford has kind of started having food festivals ever since. It's now the Waterford Food Festival, whatever. And with the GIY, they've been coming into us for a good while, to be honest, because they've seen our ethos. Hopefully, I think they like what we're doing. And we spend an awful lot of time sourcing our food and sourcing our producers for every little dish. Like if we have to sign up a new producer just for one product, we will. Like we've an 80-seater restaurant. We've got 30 different food suppliers. That's 30 different statements every month and invoices, and it's a lot more paperwork, but it's worth it at the end of the day, to be honest, because the flavors from the different products that are out there, like, it's there's no comparison, to be honest. For fruit and vegetables, we've, I think, 7 or 8 different suppliers for fruit and vegetables. They all have their own specialities, that they're, one's better at producing this than the other, so you can easily get everything from one supplier, like, that everyone knows the trucks that travel around, that deliver everything, like even chairs and tables and cutlery and the food and the drinks. I think for food, for whatever goes into your mouth, it is worth going the extra mile.
Do you get people coming up to you saying, you know, oh, you're buying your, I don't know, let's say your parsley from Jimmy's farm down the road, that's great to hear on one hand, and then also let's say you're selling, I mean, we were talking to Dermot Carey, and Dermot was kind of saying that it was essentially the higher end restaurants who maybe he was producing some things for. So I guess on the other hand, would you consider yourself higher end? And how does that bit all work? Because obviously if I know Jimmy and his parsley, let's say, is 15 cents or 15 euros for me to buy, and you've obviously got to put a bit of garnish on and take it in and wash it and put it on a plate and present it, and they're kind of going, Jesus, I'm paying what? I can buy it down to sure, you know, is there an element of maybe that about it, that local?
Most of the time it does cost that small bit extra, but to be honest, funny enough, sometimes it doesn't. Sometimes it can actually be cheaper than buying it from the bigger producer or the bigger supplier. It might be that bit more expensive, but just come into the restaurant and we're busy, and we're busy most nights of the week. Like, it'd be nice to say that it's because the atmosphere and everything is great and we're lovely people, but it's what goes on at the plate is what makes the biggest difference, to be honest. It is a restaurant at the end of the day, and if we can give the best flavour possible, we should do it, and it'll be worth it, because if the food is better and the number and you're selling more, it's economies of scale, to be honest. The margins might be slightly lower, but you're selling more, and you're busier, so that's kind of our philosophy. Just
one of the things again noted by Dermot Carey, the head grower for GIY Ireland, was that he almost works alongside some of the chefs. He goes in with the seed catalogue to them. He says, okay, well, here's what I think you can grow, or the chefs say to them, well, here's what we would like you to grow for us. Are you starting to do an element of that? Are you starting to trial new foods? Are you more on the vegetable sides? Are you starting to go out? Are the chefs starting to go out and see where the stuff is growing? You were noting that for the first time, maybe that where the food has come from is starting to be noted on the menu, something that definitely didn't happen in 1980s Ireland, but by a long shot.
It didn't happen in the 90s either, and halfway through the noughties, everyone thinks it was happening forever, but it wasn't. It's only after in the last 7 or 8 years. I'm not the chef myself in the restaurant, but our chef Jamie is definitely in contact all the time with Dermot. To be honest, he's the grower. We kind of take his advice of what's good, what time of the year. Jamie, our chef, would ask him, like, make inquiries, can this be done, can that be done, and generally the feedback is it's always good, it's great to have them working together. There's so many different producers as well. I must compliment Michael and the lads in the GIY for getting actually Dermot down. He was working up in Dublin with Harry's Barry, and I think in Donegal, and they're nearly world famous at this stage for what they've done and what they've achieved. And the stuff that Dermot is producing is just a picture. Like, it's
more from Cormac next week on the Sod Show, but now it's time for Song of the Week, and just thinking the usual is try and get a pun in somewhere. So here's the Fun Loving Criminals and Korean Bodega. The Fun Loving Criminals and Korean Bodega on 103.2 Dublin City FM. It is the Sod Show with Peter Donegan and myself, Brian Green, with you until 3:30 every Friday, and on podcast and on demand at sodshow.com. Let's go back to the windy outdoors, and we're talking again with Mick Kelly from Grow It Yourself.
To turn around and we have this conversation over and over and over again where it's, you're standing outside the shop window and you're looking in and you're saying, you know, in my case, to refer to myself, it's people saying, God, it must be great to sit down and draw gardens for a living, or the secondary cases that it must be great to be in the great outdoors, you know, making gardens for a living. And I'm kind of going, you know, when you look at the back of the shop, you know, you've got an accountant screaming
hard
at you.
Work,
yeah, you've got hard work. It's 365 days a year. It's pacing the garden at 4 o'clock in the morning. It's all of those things. That DIY garlic light bulb moment led you to obviously set up what we now know as DIY itself. Has that come with, I guess, a pull on it where it's, oh my God, that's Mick Kelly, he gets to grow things for a living, he gets to work in the great outdoors, and you're kind of going, you've no idea, I have to, I just did 425 miles up to Donegal and back because they're the new, do you find there's a little bit of it kind of tearing you? Have you got the model right? Is it the model that you anticipated it would be? Has it become too much? Is it too big already? Or
so many interesting questions there. I mean, you're right, though. I mean, it started, the vision and the epiphany at the start were the easy parts. Like, and I still have friends of mine who have no idea what I do. Like, they just can't get the, like, they're thinking, do you grow veg for a living? Do you sell them? What? Like, they can't figure it out at all. And like the easy part was deciding, let's get the whole world growing. That was simple, really, in the context of it. The really tough part, like the part that keeps me awake at nighttime, is one, you know, is how do we do it? And particularly, you know, we decided from day one that we didn't want to be reliant on government funding. We didn't want to be reliant on sort of handouts and donations. And so we decided to set ourselves up as a social enterprise, like to go out and earn our income. And use that money to hire people and have a team of people that could help with this work and fund, you know, other projects and gardens around the country. And so, if at some point I kind of realised, Jesus, I'm running a business here actually, and this is like we've got staff and we've got, you know, tax bills and we've got to pay, keep the lights on and all that stuff. And that, as you say, it's just bloody hard work at times. And the passion to get up, you know, what gets you up in the morning is obviously the impact that we're having and just getting one extra person growing their own food, kids growing here in front of us. Like, that's the stuff that really drives it on. But, like, the day-to-day nuts and bolts of it are just bloody hard work, actually. And I love every minute of it. And some part of it is I'm busier than I was when I gave up the rat race to go in search of the good life. I'm busier now than I've ever been, like more stressed than I've ever been, and yet it feels like, for me and for a lot of the people in DIY, I think it's a life's work, and you know, that's I suppose I see myself as, if it doesn't sound too corny, and it probably will sound really corny, but I feel like I'm in service to this idea and just give as much as we can to it while we can and make it work, you know.
Statistically, you seem to be the largest horticultural / gardening group in Ireland, pause, note number one. And number two, you seem to be the largest statistically Irish-based garden group that has come about within such a short space of time. On one hand, my head is saying, if the others are on the go for so long, and this is not to be disrespectful to anybody in any way or anybody else, it's not about that. I guess the question is, how did you become so damn cool as an individual so very, very fast? And that's cooler than me levels, so that's pretty shit hot. And on the other hand, you've also got a point where, to the serious note, you managed to build an entire community literally, I won't say overnight, but yes, overnight.
A lot of it was, as you said, the 450-mile round trips, myself and Dave Curran from the original Waterford group in here, which started literally 100 yards from where we're sitting. But we got into the car at night time, 6 o'clock in the evening, and would drive to Donegal or drive to, you know, Sligo or Drogheda or where, you name it, Dingle, and then drive home at night time. And at the time I was working full time, like before I started working full time for DIY, and the following morning I go to work, and sometimes we do it 3 nights a week. Like, it was just incredibly hard work at the time that kind of got that first wave of maybe, you know, 20 or 30 DIY groups going. But I think a large part of it, I suppose, was I came from a corporate background, and I kind of, we put a lot of time and effort from day one into making the brand, you know, something that was important. And I think that, you know, even down to simple things like the logo, that we spent a lot of time on working on that stuff. We put a lot of money into our website to make it look nice and that it didn't feel like it was, you know, done on the back of an envelope kind of thing. And that, like that, I think had an impact. And then, you know, I think we've always tried to be mass market, which is to say that I'm very skeptical of people that take black and white sort of positions on things. I think there's always grey areas, and I've always felt that, you know, there's room. It's a really broad church, and there's room for lots of different opinions. We don't lecture people about how they should grow necessarily. We don't say to people you have to grow organically. We don't get into GM debates and things like that. And we do that for not because we don't care about those things or believe passionately in them, but because we think by doing that you're scaring off a large number of the people that we want to reach. So we don't, you know. The people that come on courses and the people that are growing their own food already who are part of this community, you know, fantastic. And they're the absolute bedrock, the foundations of what we do. But, you know, the people I worry about are the people that have no interest in growing. And what keeps, you know, keeps us sort of going, I suppose, is thinking about ways we can reach them. So it's like getting kids growing in schools in little cups in the classroom, getting people growing food on their desk at work in companies all over the country. We did that with 430 companies this year, and that's the stuff that really excites me, because we're reaching people that have no interest in growing, who are terrified of it, like they're shit scared that they're going to, you know, kill a plant, and they're really genuinely daunted by all the kind of the horticultural snootiness that's out there, the kind of feeling that, you know, you have to be able to speak Latin to a certain degree to get involved in this pastime. And it's a nonsense, like, you know, the bottom line, it's a really straightforward activity. You stick a seed in the ground and it turns into a plant, and that plant becomes something we can eat. And we're all about kind of tearing down the barriers, making it accessible to be, making it easy to start. And have I answered your question, or am I gone off on it?
Yeah, no, I think you have. Can I take up on one of the things that you said, which was the driving around and, let's say, leaving home and going straight to Donegal or Galway or Cork, and, you know, coming back in maybe the wee hours of the morning, which is absolutely fine. And it is that case of almost building a new company from scratch. I know in my own case it did to much, you might say, detriment to, in a sense.
The family and all that.
I say in a sense. Did it have that effect on you where the family, and this changes everything, whatever about a single man doing it, but, you know, when the family is turning around saying, but you've got, you know, goldfish and three dogs and a goat and a family here, and we haven't seen you because you're growing your own freaking veg. What is... God, Jesus, my mother was right about you. You know, did you have, I don't mean to pry into your personal life, but did you have...
Yeah, no, I did, totally.
...grapples in that, I guess?
I did. I think when I started, we didn't have kids, and now we have two, and, you know, that means you want to be home more, I suppose, and you've got a responsibility to be home more. And absolutely, there's drags in your time, and you totally make sacrifices. And there's times, I mean, we go to bloom as a lot of people in this industry do. We spend, you know, probably 8-9 days up on the site getting ready for the show and delivering the show and then taking the show down. And, you know, that's just time away from the family that you never get back. But I'm also a kind of a believer that kids can see. I think it's very important to have a passion for one thing, and I hope my kids will learn from the, you know, or will see the example of someone working at something they love and having a passion as an important thing to take with them. And I comfort myself with that fact that's maybe the compromise, you know.
Good things come to those who wait, but good things also come to those who upstart. We've been talking with Mick Kelly from Grow It Yourself, and we'll be back in part two of that interview next Friday at 3 p.m. here on 103.2 Dublin City FM. If you want to get in touch with The Sod Show, we're info@sodshow.com and on the Twitter @Sodshow. They also say we're on Facebook. That's, I think, facebook.com/TheSodShow. And on behalf of my producer, Peter Donegan, it's Brian Green saying have a wonderful week and do enjoy the great outdoors. Take care. Bye-bye.